Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate. But it can only be a debate, of course, if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. Call me now on 44208-601-4555 or SMS the show on 44780008066. Now, you can also email the show at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, United States interests are on fire again throughout the Muslim world. Actually, in breaking news, the numbers of dead and the numbers of US facilities, embassies, consulates and other institutions being attacked by angry people in Muslim countries is growing. I'll be kept updated, no doubt, in my ear. But in Yemen, there are now 5 dead. And in Benghazi, the free capital of the free liberated Libya that the United States and the United Kingdom bombed and spent and killed so much in order to liberate, in quotations, the US ambassador, no less, the first since 1979, was murdered, and 3 other Americans also. The immediate cause, of course, of the flames is the production of a video, a trailer, for apparently a bigger full-length Hollywood movie pouring scorn and hatred upon the Prophet Muhammad and upon Islam and upon Muslims. But the backdrop to it, of course, is the fact that the United States and its allies, Britain and Israel, is apparently locked into permanent, perpetual and bloody confrontation with one part of the Muslim world or another, and over again. So we'll be looking at that subject, about that film and its mysterious American-Israeli director and producer. In Bahrain, the hypocrisy continues, as does the torture. Torture which Bahrain itself described as systemic in its country. It's come to something when a country describes itself as having systemic torture in its judicial system, and yet apparently is still welcomed as a full paka member of the international community. Its princes welcome to travel the world, and its armed forces, and presumably its torturers, being helped by neighboring Saudi Arabia and by Western countries who continue to arm and support the dictatorship there in Bahrain. We'll be talking as usual, because no one else will, about the continuing murder and torture and suppression of democracy in Bahrain. Now, what's gone on at the Bush and Blair Corporation? I've never had a lot of faith in it myself, but for the last 10, 12 years, it really has been degenerating fast. And perhaps one of the lowest points ever was reached in the last few days, when the BBC had to apologise for parroting Israeli propaganda on an issue no less important than the murder of Rachel Corrie, the brave American woman who stood in front of a bulldozer to try to protect a Palestinian home that was about to be brutally crashed to the earth by the Israeli armed forces, and who herself lost her life, gave her life's blood in front of that bulldozer. The BBC interviewer of the vile Mark Regev, the Goebbelian propagandist of Israel. I choose that word deliberately. A man who is ready to say any lie, who is ready to magnify any lie in order to defend the indefensible, fully deserves that title. But what he deserves when he's on the BBC is a proper interview, not someone feeding him lines that turn out to be lies. The BBC interviewer, Martha Kearney, said to Mark Regev that Rachel Corrie was not the only one to die that day. Israeli soldiers died too, didn't they? Off went Regev on a rap about, yes, Israeli soldiers died too, but that was a lie. No Israeli soldiers died on the day that Rachel Corrie was cruelly murdered, but 27 Palestinian men, women and children were slain by what they call Israel in the week that Rachel Corrie was murdered. The BBC have acknowledged that the question could have been framed better and was therefore misleading. It wasn't. It was a lie. Here's Tony in London on the film that's setting fire to the Muslim world. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Nice talking to you again.
Great to hear from you, sir. Go on.
Again, we see President Obama yesterday was out an iota of decency condemning the Zionist producer of this nasty and filthy film, because that's what it is. He was more focused on the death of the ambassador and not on the deaths of the thousands of people who have been killed by these illegally launched drones. Is it not time that the United States taxpayer realize that they are being sucked into a financial and moral bankruptcy by supporting these Zionist parasites who, if America does not say to Israel, enough is enough, will lead us all into another bloody war which we don't want, which we don't need?
Well, very powerfully put, Tony. I myself, of course, regret the murder of the American ambassador in Libya. I regret the murder of anybody. I regret the murder of his three colleagues. But you cannot be a hypocrite on these matters. President Obama is killing innocent people every day in drone attacks that are killing hundreds and hundreds of people, most of them women and children, and virtually none of them with any connection whatsoever to terrorism, except their murder will generate more terrorism. So there's a good deal of double standard in President Obama's weeping over this. And you're absolutely right, and you put it well. The American public are being sucked into moral and financial bankruptcy by the United States foreign policy, and in particular, its relationship to the biggest rogue criminal pirate state of them all, the state that they call Israel. Tony, thanks for that call. Let's stay in London, go to Shujat about this film. Go ahead, Shujat.
Oh, hi there, George. How are you? Nice talking to you.
And to you, sir. Nice to hear from you again. Go ahead.
Right. Yes, just about this film, the film that has been coming out of this film. I mean, I don't think Osama bin Laden, you know, UBL, a great murder person, he would have wished better than what they're achieving by this film, because uniting the Muslims all over the world, you know, all the 57 countries of the world will unite and will probably do much more than just talk this time. I mean, what's the film trying to do is filth, actually. I've seen the video clip. It's not to standard at all. It's mockery of the Holy Prophet, revered figure, and to do that is requires guts and money. They're doing it with some agenda to unite Muslims and to make them rise against themselves. Is that what they're doing? Because that's what.
Well, I don't know, because it's having the opposite effect that you would have thought that the haters of Islam would have wanted. As you say, it's uniting Muslims. There are protests everywhere from what they call Saudi Arabia to Iran to Yemen to Egypt, and of course the one that turned murderous in Benghazi. So I don't suppose they had in mind that they would unite the Muslim world in anti-American feeling, or maybe they did. Who's behind it is a mystery as yet unrevealed. Shujat, thanks for the call. I have to take the next call because it's from Cameroon and it's from Jim. And it's about that film. Jim in Cameroon, first time, I think, to take a call from there. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead,
Good
Jim.
Good day, Mr. George.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Good day. Yeah, Mr. George, I was very, very, very disappointed with what Mr. Obama and the Secretary of State was saying today, because what they are trying to do is social injustice. Burning the Quran in Afghanistan was not enough for them, but coming out with a film insulting Prophet Muhammad, I think this is very, very bad. And I'm just very, very sorry, because Ambassador Chris Steve is now paying the price. But the truth of it is that the Americans are now taking it to the extreme. Now we are hearing of burning Predator drones to start manslaughtering in Libya. All those things are social injustice, and they are all crimes against humanity. So, Mr. Calloway, I'm totally against the production of that film, and also I'm very...
Well, we've lost Jim, but it was a good call from the Cameroon. I think I have to point out that it was not the U.S. state which produced this film. It's as yet unclear who did. The person who claimed to create it claimed to be an American Israeli, though it's being denied, and his identity was definitely fake, and Hollywood says it has no trace of this film. So it may just be that there was only a trailer of this film. So it's a mystery who produced it. But the point is, Jim, this anti-US feeling in the Muslim world would not be happening if it were not for the role of the US in the Muslim world. If it were just a film, or just a 5-minute or 10-minute trailer for a film, I have no doubt that the feelings would not be running in the way that they are against the US government, the US state. But it's because the US state is, as I said earlier, apparently permanently locked into a confrontation with the Muslim world, threatening Iran, bombing one Muslim country after another, occupying one Muslim country after another. All of these are straws piling on the camel's back, and the camel buckles and falls, and its back is broken. And that's what we're seeing taking place across the Muslim world now. Let's go to Cairo, where one of the huge demonstrations and big problems for the US has just taken place. Omar, on the same subject. Omar, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. How are you?
Very well, sir. Nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
So I have a very general comment of, you know, as an American citizen, you know, that's living in Cairo, I'm kind of disappointed by the Egyptian response. But however, I understand that President Morsi is in a very tough position, because if he condemns the protesters, he's seen as some sort of puppet, but if he endorses it, he gets international condemnation. Now, I do agree that there's genuine anger about the film, and the protests are probably fueled by, you know, U.S. policies towards the region. But at the same time, I kind of interpret this as pure opportunism by the conservative bloc in the Salafi movement. And I think this is dangerous, especially since the film wasn't endorsed by the U.S. government. So I think across the board, the filmmaker should be condemned, and the this opportunism by the Salafis should be condemned as well.
But the thing is, Omar, the U.S. is trapped in a totally hypocritical conundrum here. The U.S. is arming, financing, and encouraging its friends, puppets, to finance the very same fanaticism in Syria that it is now suffering from in Benghazi and in Cairo. Am I not right?
No, I agree that there's a whole lot of hypocrisy on the U.S. part, and that there needs to be a fundamental change in how foreign policy gets conducted. But, you know, we have to call a spade, you know, as this isolated incident, you know, there should be some condemnation. That's just my opinion.
How do you mean isolated incident? What I'm saying is it's part of a paradigm that if it were only the film, we'd not be seeing this. But it's the straws on the camel's back that finally break it. I don't think it's isolated at all.
No, in the grand scheme of things, I agree with you. But at the same time, you know, the killing of a diplomat, in a way, should not be tolerated. I understand that, you know, there's, you know, people being killed, drones are striking kids in Yemen. Again, I said there's a lot of hypocrisy going around.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I'm against the murder of anybody's diplomats. I'm against the attacking of anybody's embassies. I'm against the threat to attack other people's embassies. I'm for diplomatic relations between states, who should not be willy-nilly and for reasons of public relations be deporting and expelling diplomats from one country after another. We can only solve the world's problems by dialogue, and we need embassies and diplomats, and we need lines of communication. I'm for all of that. I just was making the point that President Obama, who has children himself and who loves them dearly and talks about them a lot, appears not to know that when other people lose their children in military strikes that he is ordering, that they cry just as the president would cry at any harm to his own children. That's all I'm saying. Omar, good call. Don't be a stranger. Keep in touch. Zach in London wants to talk about the very same thing. Zach, welcome to the show.
Hi there, George. I just wanted to talk about what happened in Libya in terms of the ambassador being killed and three or four other Americans being killed. I just wanted to say, well, you know, America, the president has said he will catch those who killed the ambassador, but what about catching the people that produced the movie that would offend many Muslims around the world?
I mean, I'm pretty sure the FBI's on that right now. They would be absolute maniacs, lunatics, if they didn't do so.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I understand, but President, has he said anything about that? He's just mainly talking about the first priority was catch.
I don't know. That's a good point. I don't know if he has, but I'll tell you what, Zach. I see he's dispatched a couple of gunboats to the harbour at Tripoli. I don't know if a lot of people know, but anyone who's been in Tripoli will know that the United States first ever in the 18th century, first ever imperialist sojourn was to bombard from the sea that very port in Tripoli. Zach, good call. Let's stay in London, talk to Abdul Kalim about that film. Abdul Kalim, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I follow you on Facebook, and I wanted to say that this film which is being made is part of a bigger hatred of Islam. I am a former London policeman. I served in the police in the 1980s, and I've served during the time of the riots. Now, I was hated in the police for what was my name, i.e. Abdul Kalim, and I was hated for the fact that I am a Muslim. And very often I was insulted as an Arab. Those fools did not know that I'm of Pakistani origin, but a Muslim. And furthermore, this hatred for Muslims is not confined only to the police service, or wasn't confined to the police service. It also extends to local authorities in Britain. I was working for one up to 5 years ago, and one of the reasons for which I was sacked is that I was working with too many Muslim groups. They did not realize that Muslim groups were the most vulnerable and sought most support. But they felt that I was working with too many Muslim groups and it was not satisfactory. So this tirade against Islam is not limited to films.
No, of course not. Of course it is not. Abdul Kalim, thanks for sharing that with us. Let's stay in London. Talk to Farouk on the very same subject of that film. Farouk, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
George, do this film again. Is this another doubt again, you know, like we see with Salman Rushdie trying to undermine the Muslim? Especially, you know, when the Palestinian cause around the world is catching strength. And this is another attempt again, you know, to undermine the Muslim. Probably, you know, for America to take further action against Libya, because now they're sending two destroyers there, supposedly to go after those who killed this particular ambassador and member of the American embassy.
Yeah.
You know, we all deplore this action, but like I said, you know, it's not it. Like, you know, the thing that triggered this one. You know, the two things that is the dearest to the Muslim hearts is the Quran and the Prophet, may peace be upon him.
Well, so, I don't know what the objective of the people who made the film is, but I wouldn't have thought that the purposes that they had in mind are being served, because all I can see on the news is the Islamic world and the Muslims in the Ummah coming together in anger against, not the film per se, though that goes without saying, but against American policy in the region and the demand for the expulsion of American ambassadors from the region is an expression of hatred in the Ummah of the role that the United States is playing. And I'm sorry to go on about this point, but the people who did the killing of the American ambassador in Benghazi are the people that the United States and the United Kingdom funded and bombed for to put them into power in Libya, and are the very same kind of people who they are supporting in the destruction of Syria. I mean, these are facts, uncomfortable facts, but they cannot be denied. Khaled is in Mali. I'm not sure I've ever taken a call from Mali. I'm looking forward to it. Khaled in Mali, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Good evening, George. Good evening. Not Mali, Malawi, actually.
Malawi. I beg your pardon. You're equally welcome in Malawi. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, very well, thanks. I've actually prepared a script on the subject of this this movie of hate against the denigrating the Holy Prophet. If I may, can I continue?
Yes.
What I'm trying to say is that the freedom of expression is one thing. Taking liberties to insult is quite another. In a culture of free expression, slander is never a substitute for a debate. When liberties are taken with the ugliness of the one we're witnessing now, and that too on a global scale by way of a hate movie, there are natural consequences. The first casualty is human relations, and then there's the potential for a cycle of senseless violence, sometimes involving governments. You know, such slander only serve to foster more prejudice, mutual hate among the people of the world. And the consequences of wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are anything to go by. Every one of us is a loser in this instance.
Well, absolutely, absolutely right, Khaled. In Malawi, an outstanding contribution. Thanks for it. Let's go to the comment wall. Take a couple of emails. We want your country, your point of view up here on the comment wall. Let's see where the first one is from. It's Somalia, Ahmed. The death of the ambassador in Libya and more similar of like it will be the reward. The US state does not stop killing Muslims in the world and backing anti-Islamists. Well, I wouldn't put it that way, but I did put it the way I did put it earlier. And you can rewind on YouTube in order to see what I had to say about that. Here's another one on comment. This one from London, Kyle Ali. The film did not hurt me or the Prophet. The Prophet famously said that the survival of religion lies in patience. Therefore, 1-0 to the US, I'm afraid. If I, as a Muslim viewer, cannot flood the British media with this quote, then will you? Well, I think the mystery of this film is unrevealed. But I insist that this is not really about this film. This is the last straw that's broken the camel's back. But all the other straws are very visible and very clear to anyone with eyes to see. So we're talking about the fact that US interests in the Muslim world are on fire as a result of the showing of a trailer of a film, allegedly of a film, which viciously traduces and insults Islam, the Prophet, and the Muslims. And it has caused an absolutely extraordinary reaction. We're talking about torture and hypocrisy in Bahrain, where Yates of the Yard, you'll remember him, is now in charge of policing, and where, according to the country's own government, torture is systemic in their system. And we're talking about the Bush and Blair Corporation, sometimes known as the BBC, who, in a long line of disgraceful episodes, including the refusal to air a charity appeal by some of the most important charities in the land for the Palestinians being slaughtered in the Gaza Strip in 2008-2009, refused to even broadcast an appeal that even commercial television did broadcast. But perhaps a new low was reached when the vile Mark Regev, the propagandist of the worst elements of the society of what they call Israel, one of the dregs, not Mark Regev, Mark Dregev, one of the dregs of Israeli society, the BBC feeding him lines, which were in fact lies, on the death of Rachel Corrie. So we're having one or two difficulties, I think, with the phone system at the moment, but we finally got Saeed Ali on the line. Saeed, welcome to the show.
Hi, George, how are you?
Very well, nice to hear. Where are you?
I have two comments that I'd like to make. Hillary Clinton today, although she condemned the movie and said it's disgusting and reprehensible, but she also said that the U.S. would never stop Americans from expressing their views, no matter how distasteful. So what she...
Well, we know, Saeed, that that's not true. The jails in America are filled with Muslim prisoners that have been locked up for charitable activities in support of what they believe in. So that's just not true, Mrs. Clinton. Now, I've got to take a break for the news, but God willing, I'll be back right after this.